Bring you greetings from Grace Baptist Church of Corbin, Kentucky. It's good to see so many people here this morning. It's better to be in the house of the Lord than on the lake, in the woods. Those things are temporal. They'll fade away. Brethren, these things last forever. We thank the Lord for this opportunity. If you have your Bibles with me, go ahead and start turning with me to Acts chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 41 and 42. Topic this morning I'll be dealing with is prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." They continued steadfastly in prayers. Brethren, I feel that in our churches, and as the Lord burdened my heart with this message, that we are stepping away from a praying people. That a lot of our problems in our churches could be easily avoided, I think, if we were praying people. Think about how many church splits would have took place if the church took time to stop and pray about it before they ever cast a vote. And brethren, we need to be looking at this church and realizing that God blessed them greatly. They were a church that was on fire for the Lord, that God was doing mighty acts with, and they were a praying people. They were steadfast in prayer. And I don't want to this morning try to give you a guilt trip about how much you need to be praying, because it doesn't work. You won't pray if you don't want to. If you don't want to. You know, if your heart's here this morning and you have no desire to go to God in prayer, then you have a heart problem with God. You don't have a relationship with God. And you need to take care of that. You need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. But if you're here and you have a desire to know God, then you have an interest in praying. You have a desire to have a relationship with God, then you have an interest in praying. Before we get into any further in our sermon, let's again go to our Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this wonderful opportunity to hear Your Word preached and proclaimed. We thank You for Your blessed Word. Lord, we humbly come before You as a very needy people that realize that we are completely dependent upon You. And Lord, we wouldn't have it any other way. But we know that we cannot trust in ourselves, and we are dependent upon You, and we look to You, Lord, for leadership, for guidance, for blessings, for all that You've provided for us. And Lord, we just pray that You prepare our hearts this day to receive the Word, and that You would mold us and shape us into an image that gives You glory and honor in all that we do. May Jesus Christ be uplifted today. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. There's going to be four things we're going to look at in prayer. The last one that we're going to deal with is the purpose of prayer. Why do we pray? I thought about doing that one first, but then I was like, well, no, I just felt that it would be better that we do that at the end. But the first thing is the mode in which we approach unto Him, the way in which we come to God. Is there a particular way in which we need to pray? And I'm not talking about, you know, the way we hold our hands. You know, do you hold them like this or like this or like this or... But the manner in which we approach unto God is very important. It's very important. To have a healthy prayer life, a correct prayer life, it requires that we come to God in a certain way, in a certain mode, not just with an uncaring attitude, but in a certain way. And God takes notice of this. If you would, look over in Leviticus chapter 10. And this is the account of Aaron and his two sons. And as they began to offer unto the Lord, we have a record given to us of how much God cares about the way in which we serve Him, but in the way in which we approach unto Him. In Leviticus chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." I can imagine that was a very troubling time for Aaron when his two sons were killed. It says he held his peace because he knew God was right. Those that come unto God, those that approach unto the throne of grace, need to be have God sanctified. That means set apart. Realize who they are coming to and consider that. One of the things that we need to make sure that in the way in which we come to God, the mode in which we approach Him humbly with our prayers. Humbly with our prayers. James chapter 4, verse 10, I read it for you. It says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Humbly. In Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17, as you want to turn over there, Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17, says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to Him." We want to just notice the very first one, verse 17, a proud look. A proud look. You come unto God, not sanctifying Him, with a proud look, something that God hates. You must humble yourself before God in prayer. I think we find a spirit going out throughout our land today among our churches of not being a humble people before God. You know, "Oh yeah, I'm going to talk to the man upstairs today." Heaven forbid those words come out of our mouth. I read something from Charles Spurgeon that stuck with me and really began to shape and help my prayer life. And he said to consider, and I can't quote it exactly, but to consider that you are going before the King. You're going before the King. Keep that thought in mind before you go to the Lord in prayer, because that's who you're getting ready to approach unto, the King. And how are you going to come before the King? How do people approach unto the King today? Well, we don't have kings today, but some countries do. But we realize this sense of honor and humility that we need to express as we come before the King. And that's where we get the sense of bowing our head in honor and humility before the King. Secondly, in regards to how we approach Him, we want to approach Him respectfully. Respectfully. To prepare ourselves for who we're getting ready to talk to. And ladies, I don't mean that when before you go to pray, you need to, "Well, I'm going before the King. I'm going to get my face and do all my makeup and all your stuff." I mean in our hearts. Preparing ourselves. We're not just going to bring idle words before a King, are we? We're going to prepare. If we're going to address the King, we're going to prepare ourselves and make sure that what we say is truthful. It's from the heart. We're not going to just spit out words that mean nothing. John Bunyan said it, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." To pray. So in the mode in which we approach unto God, we need to realize it's very important. We can pray anywhere. Anywhere you're at, you can pray. But your heart needs to be right. And I find sometimes my heart's not right when I pray to God, because I want to pray to the Lord, and a lot of times I'm laying in my bed and want to pray, and I'll just start praying, and then I'll just doze off to sleep, and I'll wake back up. And brethren, we're approaching the King. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I found myself needing to get out of the bed and get on my knees. It's a lot harder to fall asleep while you're talking to the King on your knees. Be humble. Humble yourself. Prepare yourself. For this is part of our sanctification. This is part of our worship to God. In our prayer life, it is part of worship. And as we go to Him in our corners, by ourselves, we prepare ourselves to worship our King with our prayers. And the mode in which we approach Him is very important. Secondly, I want to deal with the petitions that we ask for. The things that we would ask God for. It's very important. We just don't come to the Lord with just anything in regards to what's desires of our heart. We need to make sure that what we ask Him, as James chapter 4 and verse 3 is a very, very good passage that teaches and deals with this. James chapter 4 and verse 3. We'll read verse 2 also because it goes along with it. It says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." What are you asking for when you come to God? What's your intentions? Imagine going before a king, and you have this desire of the king. And you say, "Oh king, I would like to have a bigger house. My house right now is just, it's just not good enough for me. I want a bigger house. And this is, so I, king, I've come, and this is my petition. Will you grant me a bigger house?" And the king replies to you, "What good will this do my kingdom? What good will this do my kingdom?" And you say, "Nothing. I really didn't consider your kingdom. I didn't consider your will. This is just what I want." You ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Your lust. We find that our petitions must be coupled with a realization that we have a desire to see our King uplifted, His will done. And that's the model prayer that our Lord gave us. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." And that's our prayer. That's what should be motivating all our prayers and be the force behind them to see His will done. And so our petitions that we bring to Him, they can be as small as it's on your heart, as large as on your heart. There's nothing too small. That's where I really struggle in my petitions. I don't want to bring the little things to God. If it's a big thing, I can't handle that. I'll bring that to God. But the little ones, I've got that. I don't need you on that one. And that's a mistake. We really want to have a relationship with God and have Him involved in every part of our lives. The small parts, as large as the same as the large parts. But we want to make sure in our prayers and our petitions that we're seeking His kingdom. We're seeking His glory, His honor. And that can be done in every part of your life. Every part of it. So our petitions that we ask for must be according to His will. Or He will not answer them. He will not answer them. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Thirdly, I want to deal with trusting His answers. Trusting His answers. Psalm 62, verse 8. You know, my ministry, I found different reasons why people don't pray. And sometimes some people don't pray because they're afraid of what God would say. They're afraid of a no for something they want. Brethren, in our prayers, as we approach into the King of Kings, we need to trust Him. Trust. Psalm 62 in verse 8, it says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Salah. Pour out your heart. Trust Him. Trust Him. You know, it doesn't matter whatever it is that you can bring before God. You can trust His wisdom. You can trust His power. You can trust His love. You can trust Him. And that means that as you approach into the King, and you have a petition, you have a request, maybe it's somebody in your family's dying. Maybe you've gotten sick yourself. And you bring this petition before the Lord. "Lord, I want to serve You with my life. I want to give my life for You, but this disease is crippling me. Lord, will You heal me so I can give my life for Your service?" Trust His answer. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 9, dealing with the character of our Lord, He says, "Or what man is there," verse 9 of Matthew chapter 7, "or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" Give good things. My little boys, I had to go straighten my tie because they had messed it all up before I came up here. They love putting things in their mouth. And they'll see something. You'll have something. They'll be asking for it. They want it. And there's some things it's not good for them to put in their mouth. You say no. You say no. Our Lord is that good. He cares enough about us that He's going to say no when it's for our best. There's been prayers when I was single. There was a girl I remember I liked a lot. And I, "Lord, please give me this girl. Please." I was asking the Lord to give me something that without seeking His will. And He said no. And today I'm so much thankful. My wife's not in here. She must be back there. I can talk about her all I want now. I'm so much more thankful because He knew what was better. Trust Him. When the answers don't come and the prayer is poured out before Him and there is silence and you don't know, "Lord, did You hear me? Did You hear my request? My heart is breaking." Trust the silence, for He knows what you need. He knows. Trust Him in everything. And then fourthly, we'll spend some time on this, the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? I think in a lot of theology today, we find such a misguided concept when it comes to prayer. And it creeps into our churches, it creeps into our homes, that when we engage in prayer, it is for the purpose of altering the purpose of God, as many would have it. And what I mean by that is, I want to read for you one thing that Arthur Pink writes. He says, "How slow we are to learn the lesson that the haughty creature needs to be brought down to his knees and humbled into the dust. And this is where the very act of prayer is intended to put us. But man, in his usual perversities, turns the footstool into a throne, from whence he would fain direct the Almighty as to what he ought to do, giving the onlooker the impression that if God had half the compassion of those who pray have, all would quickly be put right. Such is the arrogance of the old nature, even in a child of God." Lord, I am praying for this because I think this is what's right. And if You would just grant what I think is right, the world is going to be right. There's been some books written on prayer, and I'll quote from some of the things on it. One is that God has, in His sovereignty, has ordained that human destinies may be changed and molded by the will of man. This is at the heart of the truth that prayer changes things, meaning that God changes things when men pray. Someone has strikingly expressed it this way: there are certain things that will happen if a man's life, whether he prays or not. There are other things that will happen if he prays, and will not happen if he does not pray. It was a book on prayer. It's a modern book on prayer. In the same book, it states, "The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock in heaven by which Christ carries on His great work upon earth. The great throes of the mighty convulsions on earth are the result of these prayers. Earth is changed, revolutionized, angels move on more powerful, more rapid wing, and God's policy is shaped as the prayers are more numerous, more efficient." This is the concept that many Christians have as they go to God in prayer. Here's my will. And if I pray it often enough, loud enough, God will change what He's determined to do to answer my prayer. Prayer changes things. Now, from experience, we learned just recently, not that long ago, that when someone says, runs on change, that change is not a good thing. What would you have God change about Himself? Brethren, let that thought sink deep in. In what God has purposed to do, what would you have Him change? If everything He says is good, if everything He thinks is right, and His ways far above us, what would you have Him change? Would you have Him change that which is perfect for your way, which is corrupted, ruined by sin, depraved? Luther put it this way. He said, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness." The purpose of prayer is not to change God's plan. It is not. Ephesians chapter 3 says, "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord," He has an eternal purpose, and that will not change. No matter how hard you pray, no matter how long you pray, it will not change. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, "In whom also He had ordained and obtained an inheritance, having predestinated us according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." In that book, he said, God, the saints, the prayers of the saints is what God determines how He's going to act. That is false. It's false. Why would God look at us to determine how He's going to act? And I thank Him. When I was lost and His enemy, and I hated Him and didn't have anything to do with Him, didn't want to have anything to do with Him, that He did not look at my will as a determining factor of what He would do. He had mercy on me. He sent His Son to die on the cross for me. In your prayer life, have you found that you are engaged in a conflict with God to try to change what He has brought into your life for something that you think is better? Are you in odds with God? You see, when we humbly come before Him, when we respectfully come before Him, and our prayers are laid before Him, "Lord, this is what's on my heart. I am troubled about this. I am burdened about this. And I don't know the answer to this, but I know You do. Will You show me what Your will is? And Lord, will you then make me willingly acceptant of your will? Will you walk with me and guide me in every step of this so that I can understand who you are and what you want in my life? And not go to him and say, Lord, this is what I want. Give me, give me, give me, give me. How quick after September 11th did this nation say, God bless America, and all that went on? They wanted the blessings of God. They did not want to walk with God. Amen. Prayer is walking with God. It is our relationship with God. Do you want to be in His will? Or do you want to be opposed to His will? And brethren, those are the four things I wanted to bring up on prayer. We need to be a praying people. A people engaged in conversation with our Lord. And it has a profounding impact and a purpose. It doesn't change God. It changes us. It molds us and shapes us as we relate to God to understand who He is and His will for our lives. It's our communication with Him. It has the prayer of the righteous availeth much. God answers prayers. I'm not saying that He doesn't. But those prayers are according to His means that He has ordained to answer what His will is. Do you want to be part of that? Do you want to be part of that? And that's why we pray. We want to be part of the means which God has ordained to answer His will. We want to pray His will so that He would answer our prayers and be part of those means which He's ordained. It is a very important subject. It is something that is lacking, I know, in my own Christian life. Thinking about prayer and the times that I neglect about it. But it's not a matter of, as I said, something that we can make you feel guilty about. Or make you feel excited about. We have a God that the Holy of Holies has opened up to us. And we can approach Him to as the priest of God at any time. At any time. That's exciting, brother. Amen. We can go unto God and bring everything about our life to Him. And He will hear it. He's not too busy. He's not too occupied with the things of everybody else. That each and every one of you here, as His children, He will take time. He will listen to you. He will answer your prayers. He will direct your lives. And He will be a part of it. And brethren, what a joy that is to think about. We are not alone. As a brother pointed out in his sermon about having value, life. It's an amazing thing when you realize that God values your life. He's got the hairs of your head numbered. He's got an easy job for me. But He cares about us. And we can take all our prayers to Him. Let us not be at odds with our Lord when we pray. But let us seek His will. His kingdom come. Thy will be done. In heaven and in earth. In my life. For your glory and for your honor. Thank you.
One of the hardest things I had to learn, I'm still learning, is that it's God's kingdom, it's His Bible, His mission work, it's all His.